And now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
Look at this. We've reached Friday already. One of the days I look forward to because I get to spend an hour with the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, John. And you will notice the great job that our sanitation department did. You say, doing what? Well, we actually had to send salt spreaders out.
Yeah, well, you have lots of it lying around, all that salt and sand. I mean, you haven't had to use it, so you might as well throw a little on the road.
Well, you know, it costs money, so we'd prefer not to throw it on the roads at all. But we've actually, you're right, haven't had to do much of it so far this year. Although, let me remind everybody, we still have half of January, all of February. You can have good snow in March, and we've had snow in April, so we're not out of the woods yet.
All right. I thought you were going to tell me you were going to get this new deal going where you heat the air so it's not quite as cold. not yet.
Let's not get into the global warming.
Hey, look, did I read that you put some sort of clock down in your bullpen in City Hall?
I do. We have a clock that counts down the days, hours, minutes, and seconds left in the administration. For the record, we have 1,077 days left and X number of hours, roughly 14 hours left to go. And it's a sign next to it. We only have this left. Make every day count.
Interesting motivation, and it really does sort of focus your people into this the point that, you know, you do have only a limited amount of time, and then there's going to be somebody else here, so let's get to it. And to that point, Mr. Mayor, this week you laid out a laundry list of agenda items that you want to accomplish here, including giving more money back to the people in property tax.
Well, you know, the way our system works is you can get reelected once, so you can have 8 years, and the first 4 years everybody's got enthusiasm, and in all fairness, in the fifth year, if you're lucky enough to get reelected, there's enthusiasm, you're coming out of the campaign. The danger is, as you get into years six, seven, and eight, that you start slowing down and looking towards your next career or the next guy that comes in or whatever, and I want to make sure that doesn't happen. So we really worked very hard with all of the different agencies to come up with ideas that would excite everybody and would make a big difference in the city and that we could get done in the next 3 years. You know, some things take so long because of court challenges and just the way the law works that if you don't start them very early in your term, you're not going to get them done. So I wanted to make sure that those things, too, were in this list. And we were lucky enough to be coming off 5 years where we've gone from record deficits to record surpluses, 5 years where we've brought crime down and improved the schools and built a lot of housing. And so we have a good base to build from, but the trick is not to sit back and sort of milk it, if you will. The trick is to make sure that we use that as impetus to get us going and to say to people, look, we've shown that we can get things done and work. Let's all work together. And if we do, we can get a lot more done in the next 3 years.
All right, Mr. Mayor, over the last 6 years, you and I have talked virtually every week about dollars and cents.
And we're still friends.
And we still are very good friends. You're absolutely right. But you've always been very conservative with the surpluses, pointing out again and again that, you know, the budget this year might look very good, but next year, year after year after, question marks. Why the decision to go the other way this time?
Well, we've gone the other way, but we've only gone the way a small amount, which I think is prudent. And I've said we've only, on some of the tax proposals, only gone for the next year because I don't know what happens after that. If you think about it, the problem that a municipality has is that its expenses are fixed, basically. What the city does is it signs labor contracts, which go on for a long time and very seldom ever get reversed. It signs leases. It makes commitments to provide services that once you start providing them, everybody really does expect them to be continued. So its expenses are pretty much fixed, maybe with a little bit of growth automatically built in that you really couldn't take out. And then on the revenue side, it goes up and down with the economy and property values and things that the city can't necessarily control. It can influence them, but it can't necessarily control them. Now, in a business, you would never survive that way. No company would let its revenues go up and down and have fixed expenses. It would try to find some ways to match the two. But the cities don't work that way. You can't sort of go out of a product line, if you will. I know some people think we shouldn't be doing certain things. But the truth of the matter is the real world is once you start things, you sort of mostly have to continue them. You can modify them. You can try to improve them. But you're going to be have to live with the expenses that you incur every single year and probably even a little more at the very minimum. On the other hand, what happens if property values go down and property taxes decline, or if real estate transactions don't occur and we don't get the transfer taxes, or if people don't shop or Wall Street doesn't make a lot of money? Those bonuses everybody makes fun of generate an enormous amount of tax revenue. And what got us in trouble really back in the early 2000s and 2002, and after 9/11, was that Wall Street slowed down. The bonuses weren't there. Our tax revenues plummeted, but our expenses really are very difficult to control. And while we did cut $4 billion out of our expenses, it took us a year to do it. It was painful. Nobody was happy with it. But we had no choice but to do it because the law says we've got to balance our budget. And I'd like to make sure we don't have that problem in the future to the extent that you can predict the future. Now, you can always have a terrible tragedy like 9/11, and you can't really protect against that in your budget, but you can protect against downturns in the economy, which some economists think we're having, others don't. You can protect from a downturn in the property market, which some economists say that it's taking place elsewhere in the country and they think it'll hit here. Others say, no, we're resilient, but let's just be a little bit prudent. So I've tried to balance things between giving back to those who had their taxes raised, helping create jobs in the city by reducing a lot of taxes that small businesses find offensive and onerous, and reducing the sales tax on clothing, which would get a lot more people coming into the city and buying here and keep our citizens from going outside the city to buy their clothing. And remember, once they buy clothing, they buy other things, and they park in the they use transportation.
You want to make that New York City sales tax eliminated permanently.
That's correct. And I'd love to have the state eliminate theirs, but that we can't do. I'd love to see him do it. We have a new governor, and he's got his problems. He's got to find ways to provide services and not raise taxes. And I think, Elliot Spitzer is going to be a good governor. But he's got a tough road to hoe when he knows it, and the city's going to work with him and try to help him to the extent we can, because we're all in this together.
All right, Mr. Mayor, speaking of revenues, I need to generate some myself right here. We'll take a break at 77 WABC. John Gambling Mayor Michael Bloomberg coming right back. 77 WABC. We continue on the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. It is our usual Friday conversation, and this week the mayor has put out a list of things that he wants to achieve before he finishes up here. And once again, Mr. Mayor, you're focusing on the schools, and I couldn't agree more completely with you that tenure in the school system has got to change because it limits accountability.
Well, tenure is a concept that was created for college professors to have protection when they say things that are very controversial, and if they're going to expand man's body of knowledge, society decided hundreds of years ago that we have to protect them so that they're free to really think out of the box. Public school teachers don't really do that, in all fairness. Public school teachers' job is not research, it is to teach. And they do a spectacular job, and out of our 80,000 teachers, I think, the vast bulk of them really are great. And you can see the results. They're really making a difference, and the school system is going in the right direction. But it is true that every once in a while, a bad teacher slips through. And the way our system here in New York City works, once they make 3 years, they're there for all practical purposes, they're there forever. And every year they have more students that they just aren't qualified or don't seem to be able to give them the skills that the kids are going to need to participate in the great American dream, and that's not right. And it's very difficult to remove somebody, a teacher that has tenure. Now, you know, for the people that live in this city, all of us have a boss who says, you're doing a good job, you're not doing a good job. If the boss is really good and you're not doing a good job, they work with you and try to find ways, give you the help, even find a different job in the organization that you can do better. Building loyalty among your employees is one of the real key things to having a successful organization, and that's true in government as well as in business. But all of us have to be accountable and perform, and asking teachers to do the same thing isn't the least bit unreasonable. If you don't do a good job, WABC's not going to have you around. If I don't do a good job, the voters aren't going to have you around.
You've got that right. But Randy Weingarten and the teachers don't think this is a good idea at all. Accountability in the world of education is almost an anathema.
Well, I think that's one of the things that's been changing in our school system. When I came into office, the whole school system, the old Board of Ed, really, if you think about it, never focused on... They didn't think their job was to educate kids. Their job was to take care of the 120-odd thousand people that worked for the Board of Ed and satisfy the politicians who used the Board of Ed as a ways to curry favor with people who would then help them. And that, more than anything else, is the big change that Joel Klein and our administration has made in the last 5 years. Now the focus is on the children. And for everybody, if we don't do a good job with the children, we should not be able to continue. And I've said I'm going to bet my career on this. You know, you can say, oh, Mike, you're not going to run again. You can't run again. Yeah, but my reputation is there. I care very much, and this is the legacy I'm going to leave to my children and to have really made a difference. And we are making that difference. So the teachers are doing a good job, but they're not all perfect, and you have to have a system that weeds out those that aren't. And, you know, I know what Randy's saying. She's trying to protect her members. That's her job. But not all of them are perfect, and that's our job to say no. And I think that the fact that so many of them are good should take away any worry that she or other teachers have that this is a process that will be abused. We have a system where the design is you have 3 years to show, to learn and to show your merit, and then we'll decide yes or no. We're not even trying to take away tenure. I could see maybe a little more screaming if you were trying to do that. All we're saying is at the end of 3 years, we're going to look at the real numbers and see whether you did a good job to grant you. So to object to just doing what the current law says, I find a little bit fascinating that, you know, it's creating a little bit of a stink. But in all fairness, it's very few people that object to this. The public certainly doesn't. And most teachers are so proud of the job they do. You know, how would you like to be in an organization where people said, oh, you got passed on, you got a reward, but it doesn't mean anything because everybody gets it? Quite the contrary. I think our teachers want to be in a system where they have every reason to be really proud that what they've done, they've really earned, and I think most of them have.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I've heard from teachers, as you have, over and over again, they're as upset with the bad teacher that gets the pass all the time as anyone else. Let me ask you this question. I know one of the other concerns that Joel Klein and you have is the fact that the master teacher, the seasoned teacher, the good teacher, those teachers are finding their way into, if you will, safer schools, and I mean that both from a physical point of view as well as educational. How do you plan to move them around throughout the system?
Well, I think it's all one big part of making the city better. If you think about what's happened and the reasons, last year we had 70,000 applicants for 5,000 vacancies in our school system. If you go back 5 years, we couldn't fill the 12,000 vacancies we had every year. And the reason that we have so many people staying and so many people wanting to come here is we have a school system that is really working. And parents who, when their kids got out of college, and the kids wanted to come to New York because it's exciting. Parents said, you know, I don't want you to go to New York because it's dangerous and the schools are a disaster. Today, the parents say, hey, be great if you went to New York. You'd be safer than where you come from. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of a school system that's really setting the pace nationally and making a difference? And so that's part of it. We'll have more great teachers wanting to go to all the schools. Also, you know, you can use economic incentives and other kinds of incentives to encourage teachers to go into schools where they wouldn't before. What has happened in the system over the years was that when they were giving out funding to schools, there was a political element, and those who knew how to scream the loudest got more money. Sometimes some schools get $2,000 a year more per student than others. And invariably, it's the schools where the kids really need help that are the underfunded ones. And so what we're trying to do is, without taking anything away from the good schools that are highly funded, trying to steer some money into those that are that have been left behind so that they can catch up. So we're not trying to take anybody down, and I was very careful to say the changes, we're going to make them incrementally and gradually so that we don't lose any of the great programs we have in the best schools and the highly funded schools, but we want to make sure that everybody has the same rights and opportunities.
In the Daily News this week, Michael Daly wrote an article about the surplus dollars and said, why isn't the city giving more to the police officers, starting police salaries? And as I was reading that, that's a contractual obligation, is it not?
You know, I read Michael Daly, who I think is a very smart guy. I just think he's wrong on this one. The truth of the matter is the low starting salaries in the for the police officers was the choice of the police union, the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association. They've never, at least for many, many years, have not been willing to negotiate with the city. They think they'll do better in binding arbitration, which is a right they have. And so they go to binding arbitration. The arbitrator is going to give them roughly the same pattern that the firefighters and sanitation workers and correction workers, the four uniform services tend to go together, and he certainly looks at what the agreements are with teachers and with DC 37, which represents a lot of different parts of the city, and all the senior unions, lieutenants and sergeants and captains and fire officers and sanitation officers, and you know, there's a whole bunch of different unions here, and the consistent with the pattern, the arbitrator said to the city and the PBA, if you guys can't come to an agreement, these are the things I'm going to consider doing. And then he went to the PBA and said, look, if you can't come to an agreement, I'm going to recommend moving monies from the new officers coming in to the more senior officers, but the total package is still going to have to be consistent with a pattern. And the PBA said, fine, do it, and we'll blame everybody else but ourselves. And now, all of a sudden, they're coming up to an election in the PBA, and they're going to have to explain to all of the new members coming in why they're not getting paid. Now, it's not good for the city because it does make it harder to attract new recruits when you're not paying. But keep in mind, the monies are still in there, so we've raised the salaries of the higher pay, of the longer, more senior officers. And it's still a great job. In fact, it's a better job because the total money is more. But they have moved the money from the front end into the middle and into the back. And keep in mind, people talk about the $25,000 that is the nominal starting salary. Number one, it's only for the time they're in the academy, and Nassau County and other places have a very low salary while you're in the academy. But then it jumps up, and even the rate that it jumps up to is a little bit misleading because there is guaranteed overtime and guaranteed allowances, so that the rate is a lot higher than what the union wants to say it is. The effective rate, what you got to do is take a look and say, okay, the people who've been here 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, what do they take home? Not what the nominal rate is, because the way you do it is you have a nominal rate and then you add some other things on. The total package that you get, however, is attractive, and this is a great job. And remember, in the case of our uniform services, we have phenomenally generous pension and medical benefits. In fact, unlike any place else that I've ever even read about, the cost of all of the other benefits to the city is 100% of the salary. So whatever salary you're getting quoted, just double it. That's the real benefit you're getting.
All right, Mr. Mayor, I need to take a break. We've run a little long here on the half hour. We'll get right back to Mayor Michael Bloomberg here at 77 WABC. 77 WABC. We roll on with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. John Gambling here with you at 77 WABC on a Friday. Mr. Mayor, we just heard Donald Trump on a commercial. I understand he's making some noise about a garbage depot downtown where he wants to build something.
You know, Donald Trump's one of those guys that certainly speaks his mind. He's done a great job in building. If you go down the West Side Highway, you'll see an enormous amount of Trump construction. And he doesn't want a waste transfer station. Actually, we don't have a transfer station there. We have a storage facility for trucks. But nobody wants these things in their neighborhoods, and they got to be someplace. That's the bottom line. So.
Well, you don't want him, he and Rosie to get after you.
I'll stay out of that fight, thank you.
Listen, yesterday, Public Service Commission draft report on summer power outage, throwing all kinds of rocks and stones at Con Edison. Your reaction to that?
Well, nobody's happy with the blackout. There was, you know, the real issue was there was a blackout, and then it took a long time to recover. Sort of as a sideshow, the estimates on how many people were affected was very wrong at the beginning, and eventually they caught up with the estimates. The good news is the city had enough response out there, so even with the larger number that it turned out to be, we were able to make sure that everybody had police protection and fire protection and control of the streets and sanitation and those kinds of things. And the report that the PSA Public Service Commission, PSC, issued. I know some things people in Con Ed and you and I and everybody will agree with, some won't. Con Ed had to make a decision. Did they bring the network down and save some of the transformers or keep it going and hope that they could get through it? Those are technical decisions that professionals make all the time. What I find fascinating is my experience in business and in government is if you want to have people work hard for you and continue to improve, when the things don't go well, you support them and you try to work with them and make things better. You don't go out and yell and scream at them and threaten to fire them. That's not the ways to build loyalty and build organizations. And I can only tell you, can't speak for everybody, but the reason I think that my company's been successful is because we've always supported everybody. And as long as they're trying, we'll work with them. And I think the reason this administration has had very little turnover in the last 5 years and been able to attract the best, I think the best group of people any administration's ever put together has been exactly that. And that's why they stay.
Have you been on the phone with the Manhattan judge that said it's not against the law to parachute off of buildings in New York City?
No, I did notice in the Daily News he got the knucklehead of the Day, Week, Month, Year award, which he probably, the judge probably didn't find that funny.
Well, but I mean, for America, it's hard to imagine how anybody could rule in that way.
You know, there's some things that are perfectly appropriate in the open fields that just don't work in big cities, like guns in the streets don't work, you know, aren't smart, but out in the country, if you want them, fine. Parachute jumping doesn't work in the city. Out in the country, fine. Whether the judge just made some technical ruling that said because the legislature never envisioned this thing, the law, the way it's written, and we have to follow the law says the guy didn't break it. Well, that may be. If the judge said, look, I don't have a problem with people jumping off buildings, I think he's probably wrong. But, you know, we'll get on with this.
All right. Listen,
I would suggest that you don't take up sky jumping in the city, John.
Well, you know, there was a time, Mr. Mayor, when I thought that skydiving might be something I want to try. Those days have long passed, however.
Well, you know,
I've gotten over that need.
That reminds me. I mean, you think about somebody jumping off, and the danger is that they parachute and land in traffic, or that the parachute doesn't open, God forbid. But the real, what it brought to mind was our first responders who would have to come. We talked about the police salaries, and hopefully the next contract will adjust so that there it is more better compensation at the front end. But we have coming up tomorrow a test for one of the other first responder agencies, the fire department.
I was just going to ask you about that. Talk about clairvoyance.
Well, as you know, we're on the same wavelength after 6 years, I guess.
My question on that is, why do you think that the fire department has such troubles attracting minorities?
You know, I've asked for the last 5 years. Number one, we do not have a diverse fire department the same way as we have a diverse police department, for example. There are minorities, but not that many. And I've asked every minority firefighter that I've had a chance to chit-chat with over the last 5 years, is there extra harassment or do you feel uncomfortable? And to a man, they've all said no. There's the kidding that is part of the firefighter culture when you're young and you're proby and you join. But the firefighters that I've talked to that were black or Latino or Asian or women where we're not well represented have all said it's one of the greatest jobs in the world and they love the job. And what we've tried to do is to go out and explain to people that this is a great job. I think the reason, the answer to your question is that the fire department is it's such a great job that you see a lot of father to son to grandson all in the fire department. Why? Because the child watches his father and says, I want to be like him. He's a hero. He can be a hero. He works hard. He really contributes to society, and the benefits are phenomenal. It's really a good job. I want to do that. And if you don't happen to be in a firefighter family, you don't see that. So it's sort of one of these self-perpetuating things just from lack of knowledge, and we've worked very hard over the last 5 years. Nick Scapetta and the chiefs have gone out to churches and to schools and you know, community events and tried to explain to people this is a great job and get them to apply. And we've had some worked very hard to make sure our tests are fair. We've just expanded the length of time that they are in the proby school from 13 weeks. It's going up to 23 weeks to train them even better. We've tried to make sure that the requirements and the test are job-related. So we've done everything we can. And tomorrow there is a test, and I just wanted to wish good luck to those taking it. And there's a lot of minorities that have signed up.
All right. Mr. Mayor, we'll open up the telephones, let the folks ask you some questions, as we do each week, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-WABC. We will do that when we come back at 77 WABC. A couple of more minutes on a Friday John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mr. Mayor, I've never done this before, but I have to give you a I told you so on the scoff laws from the UN. 4 years ago, you tried to do something about it, and I read that $18 million still owed the city.
Well, now, wait a second, John. Let's be fair. We used to have an enormous number of people parking at fire hydrants and in no parking zones. Today, there are virtually zero tickets given out to the diplomatic community. This $18 million is from old things that you would, if it was you and me, we'd go to court, the judge would throw these things out. We're probably never going to collect that, but we really did stop this.
Come on. All right. All right, I'll buy into that. That's good. That's very good news.
I haven't heard in 3 or 4 years anybody, or 2 or 3 years, anybody complain about diplomatic parking. Now, I know the phones are going to light up and somebody's going to tell me, but we used to have every no parking zone was filled with diplomatic plates. Today, virtually none. Just look at the numbers. The numbers are there. This $18 million from a handful of deadbeat countries, they've never paid and they never will.
Yes.
But in all fairness, even those, they don't park anymore in those things because they get their plates taken away and their cars towed.
All right. Well, that's good work then. I take it back. I told you so. Exactly right. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC. Your turn with the mayor, and we're going to start with John in Manhattan. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, John.
I think you've done a great job in reducing spending in New York City. But I've noticed with the city's bond ratings as low as they are, I see Moody's has your bonds in the secondary market sitting at an A1 rating. Why are we looking to reduce taxes instead of paying down some of the debt?
Well, the number one, thank you for the compliment. Number two, the city's bond rating is now at an all-time high. It was the last time. We've had two raises of the rating in the last 5 years, and it's something that not only should put a smile on our faces, it reduces the interest rate that we have to pay. The city does have an enormous amount of debt. It borrows money to build buildings that are going to be used for a long time, and matching a long-term obligation with a long-term use is something that anybody would tell you, I think, is a prudent thing to do. There's always pressure to do more. We, for years, didn't build enough schools, for example. So now we've got a $13-odd billion school construction program, half paid for by the city, half paid for by the state, but it's $13 billion of debt, and most of the state money, the way the state agreed to do it, it's on our balance sheet, but they're paying the debt service. The reason they wanted to do that is they said, now, you know, we don't want to tell the public that we're borrowing a lot of money, but the truth of the matter is we need the schools. The average school in this city is something like 62 or 63 years old. And a lot of the schools don't have athletic facilities or science laboratories or eating facilities, things that today we do need. So we've got to make those investments. You have to do it with borrowed money. I agree with you. It'd be great if we could pay down more of our debt. But with the better bond rating, at least it costs us less. And hopefully we are using those monies smarter than ever before. For example, the School Construction Authority probably has as good people as it's ever had in the history of the authority, and they are building schools more efficiently than ever before. So, you know, I'm the first one to say we should not do something today and leave the cost to our kids and grandchildren. But when it comes to building a water tunnel, a bridge, a school, or those kinds of things, or big parks, that's what we have to do.
All right, let's move along. Thanks a lot, John. 1-800-848-WABC. Butch has been very patient out in Queens. You've got the mayor, Butch.
Thank you very much. Tomorrow we're going to hold a rally at 137-47 Southgate Street in Springfield Gardens in order to have elimination of self-certification, which is called downzoning here. Next door to me, there was once Mr. Mayor...
Butch, what's your question? Because we got a time problem.
Will the mayor support downzoning and the elimination of self-certification?
Well, we've been working very hard. Amanda Burden and the City Planning Commission has worked very hard to downzone areas. For the public, let me just explain what it is. While we all want construction, we all want more housing, neighborhoods that all of a sudden have, let's say, a single-family detached housing, somebody comes in, buys one building and builds a bigger apartment building, it changes the character of the neighborhood and it stresses the infrastructure. There's not enough garbage collection. We can expand that, but the roads can only handle so many cars. There's not enough electricity. They can do that over a period of time, build it up, but the power grid, but it takes time. So what we've tried to do is to have a balance between where you can build and where you can't build, and in some cases downzoning, in some cases upzoning. Self-certification is something that's actually totally different. What the Department of Buildings does is they let builders and architects certify, sign papers guaranteeing that they are in compliance, and then we go randomly and check to make sure, and if somebody complains, they're still on the hook if they didn't do it right. But if you didn't do that, you'd stop construction and you'd stop a lot of things just because we'd never have enough inspectors to go out for every single thing. So we're trying to find some kind of a balance, John, between the two.
It really is interesting the way neighborhoods change. And as you say, the balance is so very, very difficult keep there.
But we are, in the end, I think you can say we're doing it right. If you just take a look, one of the measures is how well the economy is doing. Will tell you what, or how good your housing supply is, will tell you how good the economy is. And the unemployment rate in New York City just fell to an all-time low. Its annual rate last year was 5%. That's the first time that's ever happened, it's ever gotten that low, I think. In December, it was 4.3% versus 4.5% for the country. So we have a lower unemployment rate in this city in December than
Mr. Mayor, than
America did.
Our time is up, my friend. We'll get together next week, all right?
Looking forward to it.
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC.
Opinion, passion. This is the most listened to news.